Good morning.
Good morning.
We've been singing about wonderful word, and this morning I'd like to speak on winning with words. How did God create the universe? Did he hire an architect, get a building permit, line up some contractors? No, I don't think so. Well, maybe he had a great vision of this magnificent creation. And then he snapped his fingers, and voila, it materialized. Not quite. Well, did he sit somewhere down on this empty and formless earth and with his hands transform the magnificent universe the way a child would build a lovely castle on the sand? Well, that's a little closer than the other two, but it's still missing one key element. In Genesis 1, we read the phrase, God said, 4 times. God used words to create the universe. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he kept on saying, and it kept on coming. As one writer said, words are God's M.O., his modus operandi, his mode of operation, his way of getting things done. We live in a word-created, word-upheld environment. God used faith-filled words to bring everything in this world into existence. And now we are using our words to create our own world, too. Have you thought of that? We need to ask ourselves, what kind of world am I creating for myself and others with my words? Each of us can be a winner or a loser according to the kind of words that come out of our mouths. The scripture has quite a bit to say about words, especially the book of Proverbs. Here are some of the things it says. Good words. Oh, yes. Wise words may bring many benefits. We're not ready for Scripture 1 yet, Ross. I'll let you know. Okay? The tongue of the wise brings healing. A gentle answer turns away wrath. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. Isn't that a nice image? Tree of life. It is a wonderful thing to say the right thing at the right time. Wouldn't you agree? Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And in Job we read, how forceful are right words. Wrong words also have effects, and this is what Proverbs says. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. You can be ruined by the talk of godless people. A harsh word stirs up anger. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. James says the tongue is a flame of fire, a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body, restless and evil, full of deadly poison. The Bible has lots of advice and wisdom about words. Proverbs, this is one that I wish I had observed in my life. Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. There it is, folks. Peter, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Colossians, let your conversation be gracious and attractive. Some versions say seasoned with salt, so that you will have the right response for everyone. Jesus said, and this is our first slide, Ross, the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Think of that. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. And he also says it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Proverbs 13:3 on that same slide says, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. And James says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way. These are sober words and true. The Bible also has prayers about words, and two of my favorites are found in the Psalms, where David says, let the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He also prays, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door of my lips. Do the words we speak in our daily lives work for us as friends, or do they work against us as enemies? We all know this verse, and this is slide 3, Ross, Proverbs 18:21. We need to say it again and again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That is a strong statement. One speaker likes to say, we can be hung by our tongue. We can be hung by our tongue. Destructive words cause so much damage. Pete Wilson says, with words, self-esteems are shaped, whether good or bad. Wars started. Murders initiated, divorces sealed, children crushed. Just think about it. Words can hurt, destroy, devastate, divide, humiliate, shame, condemn, curse. They can stir up anger, strife, and fear. They can start arguments and quarrels. They can express hatred, pride, scorn, and much more. Words can be terrible instruments of Satan. On the other hand, words can be wonderful. They can heal, inspire, build up, bless, restore, encourage, inform, express love, admiration, and approval. They can provide instruction and correction and warning. So we need to make words work for us. Use their positive power to change our lives. Tracy Mitchell, in her book, Becoming Brave, says, what words are you using to shape your future? Are they the words God speaks over you? You see, words are more than just a convenient method of communication. They actually serve as containers for spiritual power. One writer says, make no mistake, your words aren't meaningless or powerless in your life. They have creative power, just as God demonstrated when he created the heaven and the earth with his words, as we saw earlier. Now you have the authority to do the same thing with your words here on earth. That's a big assignment, isn't it? And a big responsibility. Jesus said, and this is slide 4, Ross, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Isn't that true? So, we better have good stuff in our heart. And how do we get good stuff in our heart? We saturate with the Word of God. Joseph Prince says, stop lining up your words with negative circumstances. Instead, start lining your words up with God's word and release the power of his word to work for you. We have to possibly retrain our mouths. I listened to a powerful message by Joel Osteen recently entitled, Your Words Become Your Reality. Here are a few of his thoughts. Your words are seeds, which are planted, and bring forth fruit. And you have to eat that fruit, whether it's good fruit or bad. Your life moves in the direction of your words. Your life moves in the direction of your words. Stop cursing your future and bless your life. Negative thoughts will come, says Joel, but don't verbalize them, and eventually they will die, stillborn. If you verbalize them, you give them a right to come to pass. You give them authority. Don't talk the problem, talk the promise. And this one we've heard before, don't talk about the mountain, talk to the mountain. Slide 5, Ross, where Jesus is talking about this mountain in 11:23 of Mark. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in the heart. Now, I don't think Jesus was necessarily, although he could in his case, refer to a physical, actual mountain. He's talking about the challenges, the problems, the issues that we have to face in our lives. Well, how are we supposed to talk to them? Well, I've listed a few possible mountains that people encounter in their lives, and I suggested some responses, but by all means, this is not written in stone. We each need to make our own list of responses to our mountains, ones that are meaningful to us. So you wake up with a groan and you just dread the day ahead. That's your mountain for the day. Now let's not say, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. I wish this day were over. Instead, brace yourself and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, you probably won't feel like saying that. In fact, you probably, this is the day. Yeah. Say it again and again and again. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive. It has the power to make itself come true. So pour that word out of your mouth. This is the day the Lord has made. Something good is going to happen to me or through me today. Have a whole list of things to get yourself wound up for the day. Is your mountain sickness? Oh, I feel terrible today. I don't want to get out of bed. Will this ever go away? I'm tired of being sick. The doctors don't know what's wrong with me. Oh, there are so many healing scriptures. Prepare your own list. Some of my favorites are from Psalm 103. He heals all our diseases. Or in 1 Peter 2:24, by his wounds you are healed. Have that list ready. Be ready to quote it. Say things like, I declare that healing is mine in the name of Jesus. The power of God is working in me, and I am getting better every day. Pain, be gone in the name of Jesus. I'm healed, healthy, and strong. Does this sound crazy? You're lying there sick, and you're saying, I'm healed, healthy, and strong? Are you telling a lie? No. You're operating the way God works. Let's look at the 6th slide now. Where Romans 4:17, talking about how God, how Abraham believed in the promise long before it came to pass. And it says, God who gives life to the dead and call those things which do not exist as though they did. So your body is sick, but you don't call it sick. You call it healed. You operate the way God operates. Is your mountain financial trouble? Are you saying, I'm broken, I'll never get out of debt, I'll never have any extra money to spend? Things like that, that's not the way to have victory. Philippians 4:19, we all know it, and my God shall supply your needs, and say my needs, according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:8, I just love this one, and God is able to make his grace abound toward you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And I guess if we're in financial trouble, one of the first questions we need to ask ourselves, are we tithing? Just had to throw that one in. Okay. We need to say things like, let there be money to pay my bills. Money, come in the name of Jesus to pay these bills. I am prosperous. I no longer have to borrow. I have money to spend and money to lend. And I know that's hard to say when your bank account is in the minus. But say it anyway, because those words are prophetic. They have power, just like God's word had the power to bring the universe into existence. Now, I need to make a little disclaimer here. Remember that there are conditions to all of God's promises. The promises are out there for all of us. But we have to be in a position to receive them. And that position involves a relationship with God, right? And a development of faith so that we are in a position to receive them. But they're true. And I just want you to be encouraged by this. And I don't know if you noticed the little clip art on today's bulletin. Today is full of possible. I love that. I'm going to print that one out for myself. Today is full of possible. Is your mountain unemployment? Again, my God shall supply all your needs. And you need to be saying, I have the job of my dreams. I love the work. And the pay and benefits are great. And that may sound terrible when you're sitting there going through the ads, looking for work day after day. But you have to work on it. Do you have rebellious, troubled children? This is a wonderful promise in Isaiah 54:13. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Say it again and again. I know of one couple whose child was going astray. And one day they sat down and went through all the scriptures, found all the scriptures they could find in the Bible referred to promises about children. They wrote them down, and they prayed these promises day after day, week after week, month after month. And eventually, these promises brought fruit, and today that child is serving God. We have to persevere. So we have to say things like, my child is serving the Lord. My child is free of addiction. My child has found Christian friends, whatever the case may be. We feel kind of inadequate and kind of stupid at times. Let's avoid calling ourselves names like stupid or ugly or unattractive or no good. Those only work against you. How about this one? I love this. Psalm 119:99. I am wiser than all my teachers. I have more understanding than the elders. Now, doesn't that sound pretty presumptuous? But that's a word, that's a verse that you need to keep. That's our vision. Our vision. And God has promised to give us a vision if we will ask for it. Loneliness is your mountain. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. So instead of sitting there saying, I'll never have friends, I'll just die all alone, no one cares about me, we need to say, I have many good friends, even though you may not have one yet. And I am a good friend to many. My life is filled with wonderful relationships. Marilyn Murphy says, use your words to speak life instead of death. It might seem awkward and kind of silly at first, because we are not used to saying and speaking positive things. We have been used to saying, I'm sick, I'm tired, I'm broke, I'm poor, I'm a loser, I'm no good. But no more. I'm a child of God. I am planting better seed for a good harvest and good fruit. I'd like to say something now about our new church. This is one of our present mountains. Now, mountains aren't always bad, like sickness and unemployment. They're just challenges, things that we have to face. What have we been saying about this mountain? I've heard things like, it's costing too much. It will never be finished. We're going to run out of money soon. We should never have bought it. We don't need it. The old church is just fine, thank you. We'll never sell the old church. Now, probably all of us have had at least one of these thoughts at some time. And Satan loves to pour these thoughts into our head, of course, and bring an end to everything. This is natural, but the secret is, don't verbalize that thought. Kill it. Let it die, stillborn, as Joel often says. Otherwise, it becomes prophetic. It materializes. We have what we say. You know that? We can have what we say. So instead of condemning the project, let's, first of all, name aloud all the blessings that we have realized so far. Here are some of them. God gave us this building at a phenomenal price. The sale of many items in the building generated considerable income. We have found favor with Smoky Lake County and the town of Smoky Lake. Our architect, although expensive, has still made a number of financial concessions. We have a dedicated and capable project manager who is able to make excellent deals with contractors. Lots of money has been raised and donated, and the work is proceeding week by week, especially now, as we know from Clarence's reports. Let's be thanking God for what he has done, what he's doing, and what he will do. Let's see things like money is pouring in. Our church is completed. Our church is paid for. We are worshiping in our new church. The old building and lot are sold. And you may say, well, no, not what I see. We call things that be not the way they do. We call these things into existence by our words. I'm just debating. I have a story. It's kind of cute. Do you have time to listen to a story? Oh, maybe not. By the time we sing our hymn, it will be 12. Okay. So, I'm going to end with the prayers that we reviewed at the beginning.
Go for it, Sharon.
Pardon me?
So, go for the story.
Go for the story?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Where did I put it now? I may have to go and find it someplace because I kind of laid it aside. Excuse me. Well, you know, maybe I can tell it. I've read it enough. Some frogs were hopping along in froggy fashion, enjoying nature and doing things like frogs do, when two of them fell into a deep pit. And when the others looked down and saw how deep the pit was, they just shook their heads and said to them, you may as well give up. You're as good as dead. Forget it. But the frogs didn't want to believe this, and so they started hopping. And they hopped. And they jumped. And they jumped. And some of the frogs at the top shouted down and said, "See, you should have obeyed the froggy rules. You should have been more responsible. See the trouble you got yourself into?" And the other one said, "You're as good as dead. You may as well give up now. Save your time. Save your energy." So, finally, the one frog, weary and worn out, decided to listen to what his friend said. And he lay down and died. But the other one kept on hopping. And the ones at the top shouted down to him, "Can't you hear what we say? You're going to wear yourself out. Stop your pain and your futile jumping." But the frog didn't listen. He just kept on jumping and jumping and jumping. And miracle of miracles, jumped up over the top. Well, his friends were just astounded. And they gathered around him and said, "Why did you keep on jumping when we told you that it was useless?" And the frog looked at them, and by now he was able to read their lips. And he said, "I'm deaf. I didn't hear your words. I thought you were spurring me on with all your shouting and your gesturing. I thought you were encouraging me to jump. And so that's why I kept on jumping and jumping, and here I am." Well, you get the story, don't you? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have a powerful tongue, and they can say powerful words. So let's speak life into our world, into our church, into our family, into our neighborhood today. And let's pray with the Psalms, if you pray with me. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my mouth. Let the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Amen.
Amen.